You know, we've had a good week this week, and Brother Sam was with us in revival. And we saw several who prayed to receive Christ this week, and some who prayed to make sure of their salvation. We rejoice in that. Thank God for it. Pray that He will continue to speak to hearts and to help us to grow closer to the Lord. Now, Wednesday night, I'm not going to preach Brother Sam's message, but let me just mention a couple things about what he spoke on. He spoke on the game of life. And it was pretty interesting because he took a baseball diamond and compared our life in Christ with a baseball diamond. And, you know, he said first base, well, that's salvation. Second base, baptism. First step of obedience for every believer is to be baptized. And then the third base is the place of Christian service and growth. And it's you know, embracing all that the Lord wants us to do and all He wants us to have. And home plate, well, that's heaven. That's where we all want to be. Amen, Sheila? Amen. I'm ready too. And, well, this morning, I want us to look at a passage in Philippians chapter 2, and beginning in verse 12. And I'd like us to just focus in a little bit on third base. Now, let me just say to you, you're not going to hit a triple this morning. Okay? And being as our baptistry is dry, you're not going to hit a double either. But if you don't know Christ, you can get on base. You can get first base. And you'll never get home unless you go to first. First. And so what an awesome analogy for us, because it's playoff time for those of you who are baseball fans. And man, look, we need to be walking with the Lord. We need to be on base for the Lord. We need to be learning and growing and moving forward. And I'll never forget the day I was coaching baseball. I don't remember when to what age it was, but probably a little bit above just beginning T-ball, but not much. And I had a little boy who'd never played before in his life. And so it was a challenge, you know, and coaches have a lot of fun in those moments when you're trying to. And I this little kid got to first base. He was on first base. And so the next batter got up and he hit the ball. And I said, run. Run. Run to second. Run. Of course, I'm coaching first base, right? I'm right there. And I mean, this boy just, you know. And finally, I reached out and just pushed him right off the base. Clinton, I think, you know, that's probably against the rules. In fact, the other coach told me afterwards, said, you know, you're not supposed to touch the runner when he's on base. I said, oh yeah, right. And but you know, there's some of us that we just need to be pushed off the base we're on. I mean, we just need to move forward for Christ. How long are we going to stay where we've been? How long are we going to camp out on yesterday's victories? How long are we going to live in yesterday's moments when God has spoken to us and worked in our hearts? We need to move forward with the Lord. I want to challenge you this morning as we look at Philippians 2 and verse 12 in that passage. Now, I'm going to kind of do this a little bit backwards this morning. We're going to look at this and then we're going to kind of set it into its context. So let's start here. Verse 12, if you found your place and you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's holy word? Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Well, let's pray together. Father, we're grateful this morning for the Word of God. We're thankful, Lord, that You've spoken to us so that we can know You and so that we can love You and we can serve You and we can have the most exciting life of all, Lord, a life of obedience to You. Father, I pray today that You would impress upon our hearts to draw near to Yourself. God, I pray today You would call us to Yourself. Lord, I pray You would speak to every heart here, every person in this room. And Lord, if there's even one today who doesn't have a relationship with You, they're not saved, Father, I pray You'll speak to their hearts and help them to know what it means to be saved. And Father, draw them to Yourself. And Lord, we just ask You today to move in the hearts of Your people, Lord. My brothers and sisters in Jesus, Lord, touch them today and bless them. And Father, we pray for those children in the back. And we pray for Cody and Olivia. And we pray that You will just anoint them to give those children what they need today so they can learn to know You and to love You with all their hearts. Father, we thank You now and we praise You. In Jesus' precious holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I want us to focus, and a lot of it's going to be in verses 12 and 13. And we're talking about working it out. I guess if I got a sermon title this morning, Fred, is working it out. Working it out. But there's this tension here. There's this contrast between verse 12 and verse 13 that we need to get. Look at this. Verse 12. He says, "Wherefore, my beloved..." He's speaking to believers. He's talking to people who know Jesus as their Savior. "Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, now that's an interesting word there for us. It's an interesting thought. But here's a couple things. One is, number one, we know this is not telling us that you're to work out your own salvation in the sense of gaining your own salvation through your works. That's not what Paul has in view here at all. Okay? That's not there. So when you look at this, just realize, okay, it's not talking about this is how I'm saved. No, he's talking to people who are already saved. Okay? Paul is writing to believers in the church at Philippi. So he's writing to folks who already know Jesus, already have a relationship with Christ, and now he says to them, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Well, let me just give you a thought here on this, and it is simply that as we cannot earn our salvation. You know, Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." All right. So when we think then about being saved, well, we're saved by the grace of God. It is an absolutely undeserved gift. There is no person in this room who got saved because you were so good and God just looked down and said, "Oh, what a beautiful person you are, Matthew. I'm just going to save you." And no. I mean, You're a beauty and everything, but no, that's not it. That is not what God has done. All right? So there's nobody here. There's nobody ever, okay, ever, anywhere, ever, at any time, who has been good enough that they have just gained the favor of God and they've done enough good. You know, Billy Graham could not do that. I mean, there's no person, the person you would think of as being the closest to God you've ever known, look, in their own strength and in their own ability, they have nothing to bring to God. We don't any of us do that. So that's entirely out of the question. That is not what Paul is talking about here. So what is he saying to us? Well, I believe that what he's saying is that we're to work out all that salvation means and all that it is. I mean, you know, salvation is not a one-time prayer you pray, and after that you're just kind of done with it and move on. Salvation is an ongoing work. It has a past. You've been justified. You've been made right with God. Every sin that you've ever committed has been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. That right there is almost enough to make an old deadhead Baptist stand up and shout, "Glory to God!" Or maybe not. We've been saved. We have been saved. We are saved, but we have been saved. Past tense. It has been accomplished. It is done. We have been justified from all of our sins. But today, we are being saved. Yes? There's a present tense to salvation. We are being saved. And God is continually at work today in us. We call that sanctification. We call that the work where God comes and He continually works to draw us closer to Christ and to help us to have a closer walk with Jesus. And that's so needed. Folks, that's where we have to continually listen to the Word of God. We need to continually be in God's holy Word. We need to be hearing from God because why? Because we're not perfect. Even though we've been justified, we still have some issues. We still have some needs. And we need God to work on us today where we are now. Okay? I want to encourage you. God knows where you are. Sometimes we're so caught up in all that we're not. We get feeling so down and discouraged because of all that we're not. Look at what God's already done in you. Look at how far He's already brought you. Rejoice in that for a while. And then understand, He's not content with where you are either. And He's not going to leave you there. He's going to work on you, and He's going to refine you. He's going to grow you. He's going to continue that work of setting you apart for His use and for His glory. Well, that's pretty awesome. Now, there's a future tense to salvation. We have been saved. We are being saved. And we will be saved. And that's ultimate. That's glorification. That's the moment when we stand in His presence. And the Bible says we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That's an awesome moment to look forward to as well. But today we're right here. Wherever you are this morning, I want to challenge you and I want to say to you, wherever you are, whatever you've accomplished, whatever you failed at, whatever's gone on in your life so far, God has more for you. God has places for you to go and things for you to do and work for you to accomplish for Him. He's got a job for you. He's got things that He wants you to do. He wants to use you. No, you know, it's true. God doesn't need any of us. Last night, we were here with the guys from This Hope and we had an awesome time. It was just fun. So much fun. But we were praying beforehand with the guys. And we were just in a classroom back there and we were praying. And one of those guys just praying. I don't even remember now which one it was. But he prayed and he said, "God, just take this tonight and make something that is so unusual and so special and so powerful." And on one hand, I sat there and I thought, well, you know, that's funny because you're in Branch, Arkansas. You're not in Atlanta, Georgia anymore. This morning they're up in Kansas City singing in some big church up there. But you know what? That wasn't their focus. They were focusing their hearts on serving the Lord where He had them, where they were. And folks, I think sometimes we get so bent out of shape because we want to be here or we want to be there or we haven't got this done. We just need to focus in on the fact God has us where we are. And we need to be contented there in Him. And we need to serve Him with all our heart and ask Him to do something so unusual and so special in our life, where we are today. I think some of us have got this idea, if we could only get to this point, if we could only do this. Man, we have such a great God. He's done so much already. And we just need to continue this work. Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And it's not a cringing kind of fear like you see from a dog that's been whipped. And every time you make a sudden move, he just hunkers down. And he's just afraid because he's been whipped before. No, that's not it. It's a trembling and it's a fear that shows honor and respect to the mighty power of God, to who He is, what He can do. Well, Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But then notice in verse 13, because this is interesting. Verse 13 says, for it is God which worketh in you. Now, wait a second. Paul just said, work out your own salvation. What's he mean? Turn around now and confuse us with, for it is God which work. Well, it's this tension that we're always going to have in the Christian life. It's this tension that always there is a human responsibility, but there is God's work in it all. Okay? And when we come to salvation, you know, we as human beings have an opportunity and a need and an obligation to respond to God in repentance and faith. And that's our part. That's what we do. But we do not save ourselves. We do not save ourselves. And that is why we can't turn around tomorrow and undo what we've done. We can't lose our salvation because we didn't do that. All we did was we repented of our sins and we turned to Christ in faith and we trusted Him to save us. And He is the one who does the work in us, Mari. He is the one who sets us free and changes us. And so I can't undo what God has done. I can't undo the mighty working of God. I can't change what He's done in my heart. So there's this balance. There's this tension between the two. You and I have something that we're to do. Work out your own salvation. And I think that what that means is that Mike Dunn has a set of challenges and difficulties and struggles within his life. And he is to bring Christ into every single one of those. And he is to allow the Spirit of God to change him and to transform him and to make him into the man that God has called him to be. And I can say the same about every single one of you here. God has exactly what you need. But you are to work this out. You're to let this just begin to work and move in you. And you're to cooperate fully with the Spirit of God. You're to allow the Spirit of God to move you. Like the wind in the sails of your sailboat. Y'all have sailboats, right? Here in Central Arkansas, northwestern Arkansas, western Arkansas. Where are we, Sheila? I don't know.
In the middle of nowhere.
Okay, amen. Good place to be if God is there. Well, okay, we don't do sailboats too often around here. But oh my, you've seen the pictures of those sails when they lie. Just lie there with nothing to fill them, nothing. And folks, that's the picture of a lot of Christians. There's a lot of Christians today, and it's not that they don't have the Lord in their life. It's not that God is not able to do what's needed. It's that that they're not hearing, they're not listening, they're not tuned in. And as a result, the Spirit of God is not filling that sail with the strength and the energy to move them where they need to go to. Well, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to do this all. And He's the one who's going to do it, and He's the one who's going to get the glory for it. And He should. But I want to encourage you, the challenge for us is to allow the Spirit of God to come freely and just work in every area of our life. And I know sometimes there's places in our life that we just kind of seal off. We just kind of wall off. We say, Lord, I don't really want You to deal with that part of me. I that's kind of a private thing, and I'm a little bit sensitive about that. And I'd rather You didn't go in that room. And folks, to be a Christian and to walk in the presence of God means that you open the doors of your heart to Him. Every room, every part, all that you are. And you welcome Him in. And folks, His presence doesn't strip you down and deny you and take away your joy or your fun or your whatever. No. If anything, it enriches and it fills every room of your heart. When you have Christ and He's the Lord of your family life, man, what a blessing. When Christ is the Lord of your home, what a blessing. When you've given Christ first place in your workplace, in your job, in your pursuit of a career, whatever it is that you're doing, in your studies, in your academic life, if you put Christ into that and you make Him the Lord, if you make Christ the Lord over your relationships and you allow Him to direct you and lead you and guide you and help you to do it right, to do it His way, to do it in the way that pleases Him, what a blessing it is. Throw open the doors of your heart this morning. Maybe there's some areas that you've been holding back. You've been afraid to release to Him. There's some things in your heart that you've been hanging on to, and today you need to throw those doors open wide and say, God, I don't even know what's here in my own heart. In places. God, I don't even understand why I feel like I do. I don't even know why I'm here like I am. But God, I just open up to You today. And Lord, I want You to come into my heart, every area of my life, and do what only You can do. Turn things over to Him that maybe you've held on to. Work out your own salvation in fear of trembling. And I think a part of that is bringing Christ into every single part of your life. And yes, there's some parts of our lives that frankly we're ashamed of. There's bitternesses we've held on to. There's grudges we've nursed. There's secret sins that we've cherished and protected and hidden. But they are not hidden from the eyes of God. And God knows that one of the reasons that we're struggling today with this whole thing of where we are in Christ today, we're being saved and yet we're not allowing Him to work. You know, it's like going to the dentist and you sit there in the chair and he says, okay, open your mouth and we're going to work. Oh, I'm sorry, Annette, I should not have gone there this morning. I'm sorry. Yeah, that wasn't good. But since we're already there, let me finish this and maybe Annette will forgive me. She's been to the dentist this week and I know it's not been good, but anyway. Amen. Amen. Good. Well, that's a good testimony. That's an amazing testimony to me. But you sit there and he says, okay, open your mouth and we're going to get we're going to find out what's causing you this pain. We're going to fix it. Yep. Mm-mm. Open your mouth. Nope. Well, it'd be foolish, wouldn't it, to go to the dentist but refuse to open our mouth and let Him fix what's wrong. Well, it's exactly what we do with the Lord sometimes. Mm-mm, Lord, no. I'm not going to open that up to You. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Understand the mighty power of God. He is able. He knows where you are. He loves you. Say, I don't love myself sometimes. I don't love where I'm at. I understand that. I really do. I understand that very, very much. But I'm going to say to you, God loves you. And He wants to have that close, intimate walk with you that you need. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. Well, what does it say? It says both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Well, all right, so there's several commands in these verses, and let me just touch on those. The first one we've already seen, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? But there's a second command, and that is verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, or grumbling and complaining. Not that any of you would ever grumble or complain. I know that, you know, in a fine, upstanding group of God's citizens like yourselves, you certainly wouldn't complain or whine or murmur or gripe. But I have done that at times. And so I guess I'll preach to myself here for just a moment. Well, no, I think in reality we've all been there. But notice this. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. You know, there's some things I want to murmur about and I want to dispute about. I want to argue. I want to fuss about it. The Bible says, do all things. You know, there's times we just need to lay down our foolish, senseless pride. And we need to humble ourselves. And we just need to do what God's given us to do. And not just do it. Well, I did it, but I sure didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it. I was miserable every minute. Well, you can either live there. You can either live there, or you can choose to serve the Lord without murmuring and complaining and griping about it, but accept it as the will of God and rejoice in it. And I think there's some peace there and there's some happiness there. And I know that, you know, all of you are about as happy as you can stand at the moment. You just couldn't hardly stand any more happiness being forced upon you. But let me just commend this to you. If you are open to just a little more happiness. All right. And here's the reason why. Look at this. Verse 15. Do these things without murmurings and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And here's the bottom line. It is that Drayton, every day at school, you have an opportunity to stand up for Christ in some way, to be an example, to be an encourager, to be a witness for Christ. And when you do that, you're standing out. You're standing out in the midst of a nation that is perverse and crooked. You know, if you've ever been to the jewelry store and you've walked in there to purchase, maybe an engagement ring, you know, and you just got stars in your eyes, and you know, Clinton, you know how this is. Man, Clinton lives here. And you walk in that jewelry store, and man, you say, I want to see some engagement rings, some big old diamonds. So, man, they begin to plop those diamonds. You start, well, maybe a little smaller diamond, you know, and you work your way down into, you know, something remotely your budget. But you'll notice as they work, okay, you'll notice as these salesmen work, they bring out that stone, that ring, and they set it there, and it just glitters. And it just pops. It just shines. It's beautiful. But notice the setting and notice the surrounding. They've got this beautiful, clean, black velvet for a backdrop. And then overhead, they've got these lights. And I mean these lights just... I mean, you can take that same ring and you can walk 10 steps outside the jewelry store. Now, you might want to pay for it first because that might not... Well, my preacher... No. You walk right outside and you look at it in ordinary light and suddenly it's like, hey, What happened to my ring? All the sparkle and the fire's gone. What happened? It's because they put it into that setting because they know it's going to appeal to you. They know how beautiful that's going to look to you, and your heart's going to be drawn to that little chunk of rock you're going to pay a bunch of money for. Well, it's worth it, though, in that context. Amen, fellas? All right. You did good. Okay. I think we safely navigated through that minefield. Let's move on here before we get into worse trouble. Well, what God does with us is He puts us into this background. He puts us up against the background of sin and perversity that is so prevalent in our nation today. And, you know, from out-and-out immorality and all kinds of ungodliness to just ordinary orneriness. You know, just the ordinary sinfulness of people. Just selfishness. But that's the backdrop. And in that setting, folks, when the Spirit of God shines His light into your heart, you are going to sparkle and you are going to pop as a Christian. You are going to stand out in a place that is absolutely dark with sin. You are going to absolutely stand out in that place. And that's what God intends. God intends for people to look at you and be able to say, man, there's something there in their life. I love it. I want it. I need it. Well, and then notice just a couple more things here. He says, verse 16, holding forth the word of life. Holding forth the word of life. You know, we're to hold out the message of the Word of life. We're not just here to show off God's presence in our lives. We're here to help people understand it's through Jesus Christ. And you can have forgiveness of sin. And you can have strength and power to do the right things. And you can be set free from the things that are holding you back. Well, so Paul ends this passage with a thought. Just he just kind of goes to the place of saying, you know, it is my desire that your faith and your love and your joy in Christ just grows and develops. And if it comes that I am sacrificed, if I am poured out like a drink offering, just poured out. If my life is just poured out, well, it won't be in vain. It won't be in vain. He said, that's what God has for me here. And he said, I rejoice in this. I rejoice with you all. All right, so we've looked at this working it out passage. We've looked at working out our salvation. The fact that we want Christ to come into every area of our life and that we want Him to be Lord. We want Him to have absolute say, and we want to be in obedience to Him in every area. Well, let's set this passage in its setting. Okay? They take that diamond, they'll put it on a beautiful ring, and then they'll display it beautifully. Let's take this passage as a precious jewel from the Lord, and let's set it in its setting. Notice back in verse 5. Chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue, or every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's the setting for this passage. That's the place where we find this beautiful application for us. It is in the truth of who Jesus is and the truth of what Jesus has done. Jesus emptied Himself of His glory. He was still God. He was God come in the flesh. But He laid down His power. He laid down His glory. And He left the wonders of heaven. And He came and He lived so that you could know Him and love Him. Because of that, work out your own salvation. Earnestly seek that God would become the focus of your heart, the focus of your life. You know, it's easy to get our focus on things that aren't God. We can get focused on diamond rings or clothes or any kinds of things. We can become focused on pickup trucks and bass boats and all kinds of toys and trinkets and things that we think we need, four-wheelers and all kinds of fun stuff. Well, look, nothing wrong with stuff until you put them in the place of God. And they become very wrong. And I want to encourage you this morning to put God in His proper place in your life, on the throne of your life. He humbled Himself. He gave up everything so that you and I could be saved. We could know Him. But then it also says that He was exalted. He was and He is and He will be exalted. And He's been given a name that is above every name. And I want to suggest to you this morning that your greatest joy in life is going to become Jesus Christ. I mean, when you're just focused on Him, nothing else really matters. That's it. That's all. Nothing greater. There's nothing higher. There's nothing more. We kind of like to have our name called. You know? And in first place, in our pumpkin seed spitting contest, we have, we like to get our name called. But you know what? We must empty ourselves as Christ did. We must lay down our life. Now, don't get me wrong. In laying down your life, you'll find the greatest exaltation you've ever known and you ever will know. Because He will lift you up. He will exalt you. And that's something to really rejoice in and be glad about. So, work out your own salvation. I mean, let this work in you and just take it seriously. Because God is able to do this. He will do it. Well, we're going to have an invitation in a moment. We're going to ask you to just consider what God may have spoken into your heart this morning. Some need that you have. Maybe it's that you've never been saved. You need to be saved. You need to trust Jesus Christ. It's not enough to have a form of religion. It's not enough to be outwardly conforming to, being a church member, having gone through, baptism, all those things. Ultimately, none of that matters. But what matters is a relationship with Christ. So, if that's where you are today, I encourage you to come. We would love to talk with you, pray with you, and help you to understand what that means. Just to humble yourself and seek Him. But maybe there's some Christians here who would say, I think I've got this backwards a little bit. I think I've been trying to exalt myself and put myself up and build myself up and gain this and gain that and climb this ladder and that one. And I need Christ to do this. I can't do it because I'm failing on my own. And I need to go back and I need to begin to do this. I want to encourage you, Christian. That's you. Get on the altar. Get on the altar. Get on the altar. I mean, get on your face before God and say, "Oh God, I'm not where I need to be, but I want to be." Would you begin to work Would you begin to help me to see, help me to follow you, help me to do what I need to do to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. You see, fear and trembling will put you on your knees before God. It will cause you to humble your heart and humble yourself, and you won't think twice about it. But loving yourself too much will cause you to sit like a knot on a log, afraid of what somebody in church might think of you if you walked the aisle, or if you got on the altar, or if you made an altar right where you are. I want to encourage you to let all that junk go. Recognize it's just a part of the devil's work in trying to keep us from surrendering ourselves to Christ. Let's bow our heads. In this moment, if God is speaking to your heart, you answer His call. Father, I thank You for this day, and I thank You for every person in this room. And Lord, I believe You brought every single person who's here. I believe You brought them for a reason. And God, I believe You have things that You've spoken into hearts today. And Father, I just pray that those will find fertile soil in our hearts, God, that those seeds of Your Word, Lord, will go down deeply into our heart. They will bring a great abundant harvest, Lord, of good things, of righteousness. And Father, I just pray that even now You'd help us to receive everything that You have for us. So Father, if there's even one today who needs to be saved, Lord, would You give them grace? Give them courage to just say yes. To just come. Receive You. Father, if there's those who need to make some other decision, Lord, for church membership or for whatever it may be that You've called them to do, God, give them grace and show them what it is they need to do. And Father, we thank You and we praise You, Lord, for who You are.